We're in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7 today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. We're talking about how to have peace of mind. And we're calling this section that we're looking at Pathways to Having Peace of Mind. We've already looked at several aspects or several keys to having this kind of mindset. Number one, Paul said in verse 4 to rejoice in the Lord. In verse 5, he said, let your moderation be known to all men. That moderation means to be gentle and to be yielding, not selfish and self-willed, but to be yielding. And number 3, he says that we are to remember that the Lord is at hand, and that will certainly give us peace of mind. And then, in verse 6, he tells us to be careful for, that is, don't be anxious or worried about anything, but we should pray and ask God to help, and we ought to, in the process, be thankful. Now, in verse 7, then, he describes this peace that he tells us that we can have as Christian people. So let's read verse 7 first of all, and we want to notice the wording here. We'll break down these words and look at them carefully and bring the rest of the Bible into view to shed light on this verse. Paul said, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. In the first place, let's talk about what kind of peace that the Bible means here and in other places when it talks about having real, true peace. Jesus said these words in John 14, verse 27. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus said to his apostles, I'm giving you peace, but it's not the kind of peace that the world gives. Now let's talk about and let's consider the kind of peace of mind, the so-called rest or peace of mind that the world offers. Many people want peace, but they try to get it in the wrong ways. For instance, there are many people that try to obtain peace from a bottle, or from a pill, or from a joint, which only causes more pain and more misery in the long run. Sometimes people try to obtain peace in the arms of someone else. That only makes it worse as well, and it's wrong to begin with. Then there are people that try to obtain peace of mind through false hope from easy religion. There are religions that offer peace and inner security, but they ignore God's word in the process, like those false prophets back in the Old Testament who said, peace, peace, when there was no peace, Jeremiah 6, verse 14. And then there are many people that try to obtain peace of mind by throwing off all restraint and going wild and pleasing their senses. They have the mindset that the Jews had in Isaiah chapter 22, who said, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. They have the same kind of philosophy that the Epicureans had in Acts chapter 17. The Epicureans said that belief in any kind of God who rewards and punishes people only keeps you from enjoying your life and having true happiness. So because of that, they didn't believe in life after death. Sigmund Freud said that if you repress the impulses of childhood, you're going to cause yourself psychological problems as an adult. So his solution was, don't restrain yourself, don't deny your desires, just indulge and just enjoy. And yet the Bible shows that kind of thinking and that kind of living will never give peace of mind. The prodigal son tried it, and he failed. Luke chapter 15. Isaiah 57 verse 20 says, but the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Let those words sink in. There is no peace to the wicked. Isaiah 57, verse 21. But only the gospel can give us true peace of mind. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ can give us comfort inside from the guilt of sin. Only the gospel can give us rest inside from fear and worry. Only the gospel can relieve us of the fear of death. And so we're talking about a deeper, more lasting peace. We're talking about a calmness of soul that only God can give. So let's talk about this peace of mind that Paul describes in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. He says, "And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Let's look at this expression first of all, that the peace of God passes, that is, it surpasses. It goes beyond. It exceeds all understanding. This peace of mind goes far beyond any human ways of trying to have peace of mind. And people oftentimes try on their own to have some kind of settled feeling. And you can figure out some things that do help. From experience, you can see that some things just don't work in life, and so there are some better ways of dealing with situations so that you won't be so stressed. And then there are books and all kinds of things that you can listen to and read, some of them Christian, some of them not, some of them religious and some of them not. But there are different ways that people have of learning to relax and learning to avoid stress and to deal with stress. But we're talking about something far beyond that. We're talking about something much better. We're talking about the peace that God gives, not the peace that the world offers, not the kind of peace of mind that people have figured out, because God's way is always better. God knows us. He made us. He made our souls. He made us to be able to think and to feel the way that we do. So God knows best about how to tell us to have true peace of mind. That's very simple, but oftentimes we forget that. The Bible says in Jeremiah 10, verse 23, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps." Oftentimes we try to direct our lives. We try to have peace of mind our way, and we end up not having it because we have not sought God's will. Now, God's way of having peace of mind may not seem to work as fast as some other ways, but it is deeper, it is far more meaningful, and it is far more lasting than any kind of peace that you can have in this lifetime. So the peace that Paul is talking about that passes or surpasses understanding, first of all, surpasses all the human ways of understanding to have peace. It also surpasses human understanding in the sense that we do not know fully, we cannot grasp or comprehend fully just how great that peace of mind is. We as Christians have it, we experience it, but oftentimes we don't even think about it enough to appreciate it like we should. But even if we do try to think it through as best we can and understand this peace, the Bible says that it still exceeds our knowledge. There's something similar to this that is said in Ephesians 3, verse 19. That's where Paul said that the love of Christ passes or surpasses knowledge. We can understand some things about the love of Christ. We certainly know it and believe it, but to fully grasp it, to fully comprehend the love that God and that Christ have for us is something that surpasses our ability to fully comprehend. Well, in the same way, Paul said that the peace of God, that is, the peace that God gives us as Christians, surpasses our understanding as far as our ability to grasp it and fully appreciate it are concerned. But there's something else to consider about this peace that God gives Christian people, and it's this. Not only do we not have the ability to fully comprehend how great that peace of mind is, but sometimes it is practically impossible for us to realize how it is even possible to have it, given some situations of life. For instance, there are trials of life that we go through that are so burdensome, that cause such heartache and grief in our souls and pain in our hearts, that we wonder if we can ever have any peace of mind. We wonder if it will ever end. And at times like that, if you've experienced those kinds of situations in life, as a child of God, you realize that sometimes you reach a point before you even realize it, before you even know it, where it's not bothering you, it's not hurting you as bad. You may wake up one morning, you may be in the middle of the day or the middle of the night, and this kind of pressure and stress has been on you so long, and all of a sudden, you feel some relief, you feel some rest. Now, the child of God has that promise from God that he will have that peace. And the Bible says that we have to learn to wait, because in Psalm 27, verse 14, the Bible says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart." But what I'm saying is that as you're going through a very painful situation in life that brings great heartache, thinking about having peace of mind is something that may seem like an impossibility. And so it surpasses our ability, especially at that time, to understand how we can ever get over it and how we can ever get back to normal, so to speak, and to have peace of mind. And so Paul says, remember that the peace of God surpasses your ability to figure things out and to comprehend. Now notice that he says that this peace of God shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the word keep here in the King James Version. In the New King James, you have the word guard, and that is the idea here. This comes from a word in Greek, which means to guard or to protect. It is used literally when soldiers were guarding or protecting or even seeking to apprehend a criminal. So in other words, it has the idea of guarding or protecting or keeping in that sense. Now notice what Paul says. Paul says that the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep. That is, it will guard, it will protect your heart and mind. Now notice these two words. The word heart here has to do with your emotions. It has to do with your feelings. So Paul is saying that this peace of mind will keep your feelings from getting out of control. It will keep you, for instance, from feeling so down that you just give up on the Lord. It will keep you from losing your temper and saying and doing the wrong thing. It will keep you from letting fear hinder you in your Christian service. It will keep you from allowing needless guilt to consume you. It will keep you from worrying yourself sick or taking your own life. It will protect, that is, it will guard your feelings in that sense. But then he says that this peace of God will also guard or protect your mind. Now, that has to do with your thinking. So the peace of God will keep us from confusion. It will keep us from being clouded in our thinking, from being distracted from our goal, from being unsettled in our conviction. The peace of God that he talks about will keep us from doubt. It will keep us from self-deception. It will keep us from pride and from self-pity. What he's saying here, in essence, is that the peace of God will keep us from going crazy. It will protect us from losing our own mind. Now, I want you to notice how verse 7 connects with verse 6. In verse 7, he's not just saying that the peace of God is going to be given to anybody regardless. He's talking about the people who do what he just said in verse 6. In other words, in order to have this great peace of mind in verse 7, we have to do what he talked about in verse 6. In verse 6, he said, "Be anxious or worried about nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God." And then he says, "The peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ."